Please want me to read from Mark's Gospel that you might get some details that are not contained in Matthew, and I will tell you other things as well as we go along. But I want to read to you from the fuller account in Mark's Gospel, 10:46. And they come to Jericho, and he went out from Jericho, and his disciples and a great multitude. The son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the wayside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and said, "Call ye him." And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way. Now, Matthew 20. Verse 29. And as they went out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, that they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David." And Jesus stood and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight and followed. Let us speak to God in prayer. Now, Father, we remember that song that we sang as children. Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. We are so thankful when we read these stories about the things that thy son did, and our hearts have never ceased to be blessed and to be moved as we see him by the seaside, as we see him in the desert, upon the mountain, or as he comes before Bartimaeus and his companion and opens their eyes. We are thankful, our Father, for all these things that thou dost record in thy word about thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that since this is recorded no less than 3 times, that we shall understand something about the importance of this man whose life was completely changed by the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So help us this night. You know our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised. We confess them. And empower lips and prepare hearts. And bless our study tonight, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You must learn how to read the Gospels when you read one account by reading the other 2 or 3 accounts of the same incident. You cannot be sure exactly what happened or did not happen unless you read the full account. Now, when you read the full account, there is a reason why Matthew would leave out one part and put in another. But is so good when you read all that God tells us about Bartimaeus. And the first thing he tells us about Bartimaeus is this, that he had a companion that was sitting with him by the wayside. Luke tells us certain things. Mark tells us certain things. Matthew tells us certain things. And without all three accounts, not one of them contain all the information about Bartimaeus. Now, what is so important about reading this portion in the first place is that as reading Matthew and Mark, when it comes to the request of James and John to sit on Christ's right hand and left hand, unless you read both the accounts, you would never know that their mother put them up to it, or they put their mother up to asking a place on the right hand and left hand of the Lord Jesus. Whereas we read in one gospel that James and John came and besought the Lord Jesus. Now think of that. Had you read that, you would have known nothing about the mother of Jesus, of the mother of James and John coming to Jesus. But since we read them both, we understand that. That if you get someone else to intercede for you, then that is the same as you are interceding. But if you want all the facts, you have to read and find out that it was their mother that first came. And after she makes that request, the Lord Jesus dismisses her entirely, and he says, you too, you do not know what you are asking. Now, in like manner, unless we have Mark and Luke, we would never have heard of Bartimaeus. We would never have known that Bartimaeus had a companion and that they were beggars. Matthew simply tells us that they were blind and they were sitting by the wayside. But you read in Mark's gospel that they were beggars, and you read in Luke's gospel that they were sitting by the wayside begging. For that reason, if you read of one man that was blessed, unless God's word specifically tells you he was the only one, there may have been others. And if there are two who are mentioned, you're liable to think, well, here are two unnamed men and nobody knows who they were. Yes, one of them was known by name, but the other one has dropped out of the Gospels as to having any name at all. And I'm thinking of this. This is what is so important, that some things that happen in the lives of God's people, one will have a prominent place and will be named and will get all the credit, whereas if we knew all the facts, here is a companion, and that companion received the same blessing, the same commendation, and yet he is not even mentioned, he is not even named. That's the way it is with God's word. So you have to read it and take all the facts into consideration and then see that the Lord Jesus, in healing Bartimaeus, also healed his companion. And what was his name? Nobody knows. But they were two beggars. They were sitting by the wayside begging when the Lord Jesus came by. Now, here are some things that are so startling and by considering them, our souls are either blessed or confused. You tell me what happens to you. In John chapter 9, here is a man that was born blind. And the disciples asked the question, why was this man born blind? Because of his sin or his parents? And the Lord Jesus said, for neither of these reasons, but for the glory of God. Now, here is Bartimaeus. We'll just talk about him for now. Here is Bartimaeus, and he is blind. And tell me why he was blind. You say, I don't know. I don't either. I can tell you why the man in John 5 had suffered this sickness, this debilitating sickness. The Lord Jesus said it was because of your sin. So some men, because of their sins, are enduring the consequences of sins, and others are born blind, and the answer the Lord Jesus gives is this: for the glory of God, that the works of God might be manifest in him. So here is one that sinned. That's why you are afflicted. Here is one that was born blind, and the only reason, no mention of sin, parents, or in the child, no mention of sin at all, but that the works of God might be wrought in you. Why was Bartimaeus blind? You don't know, and neither do I. And that is what is so heartrending when we go through the world and we see blind men and maimed men and afflicted men, and there is absolutely no reason given. But inasmuch as the Savior knew why that blind man in John 9 was blind and why that impotent man in John 5 was impotent, the Lord knows why every man is blind and every man is lame and every man is afflicted. He knows why. But God does not always tell us. The thing that was sufficient for Bartimaeus is that he was blind. But after the Lord Jesus came into his life, he saw. And God does not give us the answers as to why. Now, let me ask you this. To get a blessing from Jesus, do you have to go and ask Jesus? Or may you forego asking Jesus and you'll be blessed whether you ask him or not? Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Bartimaeus would have received his sight unless he importunately besought the Lord and cried out with impertinence until Jesus stopped and asked him to be brought? How many of you think he would have been visited by the Savior unless he had called out to the Savior? You say no. The Syrophoenician woman, when she first came to the Savior said, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And then he went on his way. And she persisted and went to the disciples and plagued them. And they came and spoke to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord spoke again. And finally she said, Lord, help me. And he helped her. Now tell me, suppose the first time she heard the Savior say, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. If she had walked away, do you think she would have gotten her prayer answered? You say, no. And if Bartimaeus had followed decorum and had sat quietly by the wayside when he heard that Jesus was passing by, do you think he would have received his sight? You say, evidently not. Unless something else happened that God didn't tell us, the Syrophoenician woman's child would have remained under the control of that demon, and Bartimaeus and his companion would have remained blind. And here is what is so remarkable, that in some instances, without Jesus being petitioned at all, he goes to this man who, because of sin, was in his condition. And he went to the man and said, would you be made whole? And why would Jesus, when the place was filled with sick people, pitiful sight, why would Jesus go to this one man who was there because of his sin and say, do you want to be made whole? You don't know. And so this man, without asking for anything, not even knowing what was about to happen, was visited by the Lord Jesus and was blessed by him. And there are others, and I'm taking it just according to what was written, like the Syrophoenician woman and Bartimaeus and his companion, unless they had importuned the Lord and cried and cried and cried, they would have received no blessing. So do not think that what is to be will be, that you don't have to do anything. There are some who stress the sovereignty of God to such a degree that they say, nothing has to be done. You don't have to do anything. If you're going to be saved, you will be saved. I promise you this, you do have to do something to be saved. Not only believe on the Lord Jesus, but the Savior at times says, strive to enter in by the narrow gate. Why does he tell you to strive? Because it may be that your case is like that of blind Bartimaeus. That's why. You say, well, my case is like that man in John 5. Good. If the Lord Jesus comes seeking you and you have no idea what's about to happen, that's fine. But your case may be like the Syrophoenician woman. And if that is so, then I'm determined that if I do not get my blessing, it is not going to be because I did not call upon the Lord, I did not zealously seek after what I wanted from the Lord. So take this to heart, that you cannot read one portion like John 5 and say that Jesus is going to bless you no matter what. Jesus, according to other portions and like this one tonight, is going to bless certain people when they insist upon being blessed. And that is what is of such great importance. Now this. There are some things that men look upon and interpret one way, and our Savior looks upon the same things and interprets in a different way. And man says, bad. And Jesus says, good. This comes to mind first. If I heard a noise, and the roofs were differently, but so you can understand, if I heard a noise and some men were breaking a hole in the roof and letting a sick man down, I would say they're out of their minds. And the Lord Jesus, seeing their faith, how would you interpret? I would say malicious vandals, disregarding other people's property. The Lord Jesus, seeing their faith. Now, in like manner, if someone came to this meeting and I wanted to preach a message, but they insisted in crying out, I want to know how to be saved right now. I don't want the message to go on. I want to be saved. He would say, such a rude person. That is noise and confusion that I will accept. Praise God if anything like that would ever happen. And so here is this Bartimaeus crying out with his companion, Thou son of David, Lord, Rabbi, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And the people said, keep quiet, keep quiet. It's not the thing to do. And the Lord Jesus, just before Bartimaeus is healed, he tells him this, your faith has made you whole. And so the Lord Jesus saw this rudeness, this lack of decorum, as being faith persisting. Faith laying hold of God and not letting go until it was blessed. And so let's remember that. Never let it be said that I wanted people to go around and break up roofs and to make noise in meetings. That's the last thing I would ever say. But one thing I can tell you is this, that if things like these happen, look at them with the eyes of the Savior and understand that there are some who have friends and they want to get them to Jesus and they're going to get them there no matter what. And let's not criticize them. So often we would criticize them. The Lord Jesus saw their faith. And in like manner, there are some people who are rude and yet they're able to lay hold on God and get blessings from God. And so I think I'm going to take lessons from them rather than sit by piously and quietly and let the blessing pass me by. I'm going to be looked upon by the world as being rude and strange. How indecorous. But I'm going to get what I want from God. Let the world say what they will about me. And in like manner, you who have children, you who would cry to the Savior, insist on that child being blessed. The Lord Jesus will not refuse you. That is a blessing. And so understand that when things happen in our lives, the Savior looks upon a lively insistence for blessing from God as something that's good. Jacob in the Old Testament, laying hold, wrestling with that stranger. He didn't know who he was. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And so God admires those things. Not for something of the flesh, but something of the spirit, something that was needed. And I'm wondering how many things that you and I have failed to receive from the Lord because we did not behave as Bartimaeus did. James says many things. He says, you have not, because you ask not. Do you believe that? You say, well, the Bible says it. You mean if you ask, you would get it? I just told you time and again that had Bartimaeus not asked, he would not have received. And had he not persistently asked, he would not have received. And James said, that's right. You have not because you ask not. Now this, and this is what is so beautiful. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasure. The two aspirants came to the Lord Jesus and said, I want to be on your right hand and on your left. The Lord Jesus, when they came to him, he said, what will you that I do for you? And they said, let us sit on your right hand and on your left. Now listen again. And finally, when these two were brought to the Lord Jesus, the Savior said, what will you that I do unto you? You say, well, that's the same request, the same words. What will you that I do unto you? And James and John said, let us sit on your right hand and your left hand. The Lord Jesus said, no. Here are two blind men that come to the Savior, and he says to them, what will you that I do unto you? They said, Rabboni, that we may receive our sight. And the Lord Jesus said, granted. You see the difference? It was something that was not to be withheld. It was something that God gives to every man unless something happens in nature, some accident. He's born with his five senses. And yet, here were two men that were blind. We do not know when or how long they were blind. And yet they were blind. And they said, Lord, what we want most of all is to receive our sight. And the Lord Jesus granted that which they requested. Now, here is what was a challenge to me. They're sitting there by the wayside begging, and they hear this multitude passing by, and they cannot of themselves find out what it is. They're blind. And so it says in Luke's gospel that Bartimaeus inquired what all this multitude going by meant. Understand that. He hears all this noise, this great multitude going by. He could not of himself find out why. And so he said, tell me, why is this multitude going by? What is all this noise? And someone told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's all that he needed. Understand. The man believed that he was the son of David and that this man could open his blind eyes. The only thing that he lacked was for the Lord Jesus to come into his life. And when the Savior came into his life, he said, I'm going to get this blessing from the Savior. Now let me ask you, did you know that Jesus has made a promise to us? Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Have you ever heard that before? You say, oh yes, I've heard it. Do you believe it the way that Bartimaeus believed it? Bartimaeus had not firsthand heard any of these things. All he heard was this, that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, was the son of David, and he was able to heal the sick, the afflicted, whatever their condition was. And he believed it. And he said, he can heal me. Now he is at hand. And because he's at hand, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass by. And he kept shamelessly crying until finally the Lord Jesus said, bring him here. Call him to me. And that's so beautiful. It doesn't say he stood still. It's simply the word, he stood. That's all. But the Lord Jesus is going on his way, and because a poor blind beggar cries out persistently, the Lord Jesus stands, interrupts his journey, and he says, bring him here to me. The Lord Jesus had time for blind Bartimaeus. And here is what the Savior says to us. Call upon the Lord while he's near. There are times in our lives when we could call upon the Lord, but we do not call upon the Lord. But here is Bartimaeus, and he knows that the Savior can do all that was said concerning him. And he says, the only thing I have to do is to get the Savior to do it. And the Savior said, what do you want me to do for you? They said, open our eyes. Now, I have time for this. That Matthew tells us one thing, Mark tells us an additional thing, Luke tells us a third additional thing. We would not know this at all. It says that when they said, "We want our eyes open," it says the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. And that is something that is ever so meaningful. Why? Because there are suffering, afflicted people in the world, and you would think that God cares nothing about them, that the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is not moved because of all the suffering in the world. It says that the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. And it tells us that before he spoke to them, it says that he touched their eyes. And it says, straightway, they received their sight. Now, that's the Christward side of it. He inwardly was moved with compassion. Outwardly, he touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight. But, listen to what Mark tells us. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And so here is the combination of a man's faith and the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. What opened his eyes? The touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. What manward caused his eyes to be opened? The faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard things about Jesus, and he had faith that Jesus would do them. And you and I have heard about Jesus and all these promises about praying to God. We say, yes, he'll answer prayer, and yet we do not insist that God answers prayer. We might insist a little bit under some grave extremity. If your child were dying, you may insist that God does something. And then you could add, "Not my will, but thine be done." But notice this persistence. Bartimaeus saw no reason why his eyes should not be opened. The Lord had opened so many other eyes, and the Lord Jesus opened those eyes. And the Savior said, "Your faith hath made you whole." Now, one other thing. All of the Gospels tell us this, but listen to what Luke says. He says, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed him. Well, Matthew tells us that. Mark tells us that. But Luke says, followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now do you see what happened? You have the compassionate Savior. You have the touch of his hand. You have the faith of these blind men. And then you have, once they're healed, they're glorifying God. Luke does that in another instance. When that leper turned back, it said he fell at his feet and with a loud voice glorified God, giving him thanks. Why? He saw that he was healed. And now Bartimaeus sees that he is healed, and it says he glorified God. But now this is added as well. And it says, when the people saw it, they gave praise to God also. That's why this incident is so glorious. Here is a blind man that's been blind and he doesn't know why, and Jesus doesn't tell him why. The only thing he knows now is that Jesus can heal me, and Jesus did heal me. And he doesn't accuse Jesus as to why did you leave me blind so long. He's just thankful for the blessing, and he glorifies God for what Christ did to him, and the glory that he gives to God, and the miracle that his shamelessness brought forth from the Son of God. It caused men to praise him. And beware of the fickleness of men. Men are saying to him, keep quiet, you're disturbing things. But finally, when the Savior said, call him to me, they said, be of good cheer, the Savior calls you. And so he comes to the Lord Jesus. And now there was irritation because this man is making so much noise, but now be of good cheer. And when his eyes are opened and he glorifies God, it says, the people praise God as well. So, if you have faith like the faith of Bartimaeus and his companion, we will get from Christ what he's willing to give, but at times we have to be insistent and persistent the way that Bartimaeus was. At times we have not because we ask not. At times we ask and receive not because we would spend it upon our pleasures, our flesh. But in this instance, we have the example of Bartimaeus and his companion. They have faith. They insist on getting this blessing. And the Lord Jesus is willing to give it to them, and he's moved with compassion. They glorify God, and people praise God as well. May such things as these happen in my life. Time is gone.